Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Diane B. I am a gratefully recovered compulsive eater living in the steps one day at a time, and I live in New York. Today is Tuesday, January 24th, 2023. Today we're reading from the Big Book. We're on page 57, the first paragraph, and we're first paragraph, starting with, what is this but a miracle of healing? Today's readers are 12 Steps, Debbie P., 12 Traditions, Nicole C. The text will be Robin P., page 164 is Penny LC. Backup is Betsy H. Our newcomer greeter today is Loretta M., and the announcements will be given to us by Reggie O. Thank you, everyone, for all of your service. And the reference numbers, share IDs for yesterday, Monday, January 23rd, 2023 at 10 a.m. Eastern, was 10,878. That's 10878. And for this morning's meeting, January 24th, 2023 at 7 a.m. Eastern time, the share ID is 19,880. So that's 19880. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And will Debbie P. please read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, Diane. Good morning, everyone on the line. My name is Debbie P. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Indiana. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I pass.
Thanks, Debbie. Now we have Nicole C. with the 12 traditions, please.
Thank you, Diane. This is Nicole C., grateful member in Washington State. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized. We may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Thanks, Nicole. Let's see how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the big books of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Someone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share approximately to 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the big book mean. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, please let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted, and we request that you do not use the, and we also request that you not use the speaker function on your phone so that we can hear everyone clearly. Thank you for that. I appreciate your cooperation. Today we resume our study. We're in the big book. Okay, we're on page 57, first paragraph, and it begins with, what is this but a miracle of healing? We're reading that one paragraph only, ending with, then he knew. So, will Robin P., will you please get us started?
Thank you so much, Diane, for your service. I'm Robin P., and I'm a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. What is this but a miracle of healing? Yet its elements are simple. Circumstances made him willing to believe. He humbly offered himself to his maker, then he knew. Wow. So I looked this up and it says that it's Fitz M or Fitz Mayo is this story. That's who it's about. And he was a minister's son. And he had all of these opportunities for religion, but maybe not spirit in his mind. And he hit a bottom, and then he had a profound, you know, religious, a profound variety, that is religious experience. I also had that kind. And with a voice, and I asked God, if you exist, show me your will and help me to do it. And I had 3 days of miracles and a lot of amazing, you know, I've always heard that coincidence is God choosing to remain anonymous, and I had a lot of those. And I still continue to have those, and, you know, I still get to have faith every day because I've had so many miracles. And, yes, sometimes I'll think, well, what about this, you know, and it's just a renewing of my spiritual. Every morning I get on my knees and I ask God to live through me and to help me to be of service. And I go through the first 3 steps. And every day I turn my will and my life over to the care of God. And you know, it's so funny because you would think, wow, I've had so many miracles. Why wouldn't I just have automatic faith? And I feel like it's a faith walk every day. I get to be on this journey. And, you know, it's a miracle of healing. I've had so many miracles of healing. You know, I was a really low bottom bulimic and anorexic and compulsive overeater. I mean, to me, it's the same disease. And oh my gosh, the things that I just get so hooked in and I couldn't get out, that obsession of the mind with the physical allergy. And it was Russian roulette. It was horror, just horror, and such a waste of life. And now, you know, I get to be of service to God and myself, and I live, and health is so important to me, and my food is my medicine instead of my poison. You know, I'm an organic, gluten-free vegan. I do my best not to eat poison, which is such a funny sentence. And I ground in the ocean, and I hike, and I socialize. I do everything I can to be well and participate in my wellness, in my health. And I did everything I could to participate in my demise. It's such a miraculous turning around. I'm not even the same person. I used to be so depressed and just wanting to die. And now I want to live, and I have such joy at times. I feel like I don't even know how I stay in my body. And it's a miracle of healing, and circumstances made me willing to believe. And I do humbly offer myself to my Maker, and I'm very grateful for all the miracles and blessings and abundance in my life. And God bless everybody with a very blessed abstinent day. Thank you so much, I pass.
Robin, thank you so much for getting us started. So now we're going to open the lines up for people who would like to share, but we request that we value your experience, but we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared yesterday or Friday, please step back and allow someone else to share. I'm ready to take names, including your last initial and the state.
Brian B., Lexington, Kentucky.
Brian B., Kentucky. I heard somebody else in there. Step right out. The water's warm.
Penny L.C.,
okay,
Washington State.
Thank you, Penny.
Selena M.
Anyone else? I'm sorry?
Selena M., Alberta, Canada.
Uh-huh. Great. Okay, we're going to start off with, we have Brian, Penny L.C., and Selena M. Brian, star one to unmute, please.
Yes, this is Brian B. from Lexington, compulsive overeater. This is actually my first time ever sharing at a vision meeting. I've only been attending a couple of times now, and just kind of getting started in recovery. Not new to OA, but new back, I guess, this time around. So I identified a lot with the reading that circumstances made him willing to believe, you know, kind of coming off of a year and a half long experiment of trying to manage this disease on my own has not yielded the results that I wanted. And I'm just, I guess, I won't share long, but I'm just excited to be here, excited to hear a bunch of people around the country who are having success in staying abstinent one day at a time through the 12 steps. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Brian. Next, we have Penny L.C. from Washington.
Thank you, Diane, for your service. Good morning, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. And when I read this paragraph, it points out to me that how much this entire chapter has been about promises that can come true when we are willing to believe. And that willingness is such a thread. I've been writing about that as a reflection each evening, and being able to see that willingness is the precursor to everything I do in program. You know, every step I take, every thing I'm asked to consider. I need to be willing to do that. And willingness has been the foundation of my recovery. And how did I get willing? Oh boy, well, it was this disease that brought me to that place of, you know, desperation that I knew I needed something different. And finally was willing to, you know, go to any length, which is what I guess I needed. You know, some of us take longer than others to be brought to their, to see their truth. And, but what a gift when I was humbled by this disease and then humbled, you know, in my spirit that I couldn't do it by myself. I just needed to be willing to offer myself to my higher power and turn my will and my life over and take that step, that third step. And what a gift. And my miracle has happened, and I am so grateful. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Penny. Next, we have Selena M. from Alberta, Canada. Selena, star one, please.
Hi, everyone. My name is Selena from Alberta, Canada. This, too, is only my second time sharing. I have been attending these meetings for a few weeks, so I'm really enjoying them. I wanted to just share a little bit about this paragraph because I feel like I really resonated with it. Just the, you know, the first sentence, what is this but a miracle of healing? You know, I was so lost for so long out in the world on my own with my food and with my unmanageable life. And, you know, I joined a program for food addiction and overeating. And I learned how to depend on a power greater than myself. And it's like everything started to shift. You know, first of all, over time, I was able to start managing my food and was able to start managing my need to eat addictively, to compulsively overeat. And I was able to fill that hole with something greater than myself rather than food. And I wouldn't have been able to do that if I hadn't completely surrendered to a higher power. And, you know, when I first got into the program, I didn't really know what to believe. You know, I was raised Catholic. You know, I was raised to go to church. I went to a Catholic school, but that really didn't mean anything to me. It was just rules, right? You know, I went to church and I took religion in school but I didn't really truly understand what it meant to surrender and to let go of my will and allow things to unfold in God's time. And I had to take a chance because my life was so unmanageable when I first came into program that the only thing I could do was just decide to take a chance that what they were telling me was true. And so I threw myself into program and I did what was asked of me of my sponsor, and things just got better. It was a miracle because I had tried to do this on my own for years. I had tried to manage my life and I just couldn't. It was, you know, I had made a mess. And when I finally started listening to those that had gone before me, I was able to then see the fruits of just surrendering and of, you know, what somebody else had said, willingness. And from there, it was easy to believe that there was a power greater than myself walking me through this journey. And it's, you know, life still happens, and it's been you know, challenging. But
gentle reminder.
Thank you. I'll just finish by saying, but I know deep down that when I surrender, that's when I find the peace. So thanks. This is Selena from Alberta, Canada.
Thanks, Selena. I'm ready to take some more names. Again, if you shared yesterday or Friday, please step back and allow others to share.
Dina J.
Liz A. Oops, wait, I got three people, and all I heard was Liz A. and a man, and somebody before the man.
Dina J.
Dina J., thank you.
Johnny B.
Hold on, who is the man?
J.S. from Montreal.
J.S., thank you. And who else?
Ronnie B.
Ronnie B. So far I have Liz A., Dina J., J.S., Ronnie B. Did I miss someone?
Page and paragraph, please.
Oh, yes, page 57, first paragraph, beginning with what is this but a miracle of healing?
Jordan L.
Jordan L. Okay, that's a great lineup for now. Thank you. Liz A., Dina J., J.S., Ronnie B., Jordan L. Go ahead, Liz. Star one to unmute, please.
Hi, this is Liz A. from Los Angeles, California. Grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. I can't even believe that I'm saying recovered. You know, what a miracle. What a miracle each day of not compulsively overeating is in my life. And, yeah, absolutely, circumstances. You know, I don't know if they made me willing to believe, but they made me willing to do the work that was required of me. And but the main thing about this paragraph that resonates with me is humbly. He humbly offered himself to his maker. I had to really get that I don't know what I don't know. This arrogant know-it-all person had to admit that I don't know what I don't know. And when I did that, when I said the set-aside prayer, a whole world opened up to me. You know, this whole world of discovery, of faith, of feeling God in my life. And it's been such a miracle for me. You know, I've had the spiritual experience, and I've also had the spiritual awakenings. And the awakenings are just as powerful because the experience only happens once, and you can't really recreate it. But the awakenings keep coming. And it's just amazing the way I think, the way I wake up in the morning and ask God first thing in the morning, what would you have me do next? You know, I do upon awakening, and I think about my day, and I contemplate about not how I'm going to feel, but how I'm going to make others feel. And, that's a miracle for me. And I'm so glad to be in this vision meeting with all of you. I love these meetings. And you're my daily bread for every morning. So with that, I pass.
Thank you, Liz. Next, we have Dina J. And if you could give us your state, please, Dina.
Yes. Dina J., I am in California, and I'm a recovered compulsive eater and absolutely so grateful to be recovered today. And, you know, this paragraph is just awesome, starting out with the word miracle in it. And we hear the word miracle, and we oftentimes hear it, and it just feels like, wait, a miracle just seems like it's unexplainable and that it's really hard to understand, or it's complicated. But the next sentence tells us, yet its elements are simple. And it is simple, but not easy. The simplicity of it is that we come to program just done with trying to manage our food and manage our life and manage our weight. We come in just in a, because our circumstances will make us willing, is what the paragraph said. It made him willing. And so the simplicity of the program, though, starts out with someone or myself admitting that I can't do it anymore. Like, I cannot figure out what to eat. I cannot figure out how to pay my bills. I cannot figure out what to squeeze into. I mean, it's, and then we take those first three steps that where we just admit our powerlessness and come to believe that there's a power greater than ourselves. And then we get to go through this process of just cleaning house, right? Just cleaning house. So all those things, all those fears that hold us back, that prevent us from being everything that our higher power created us to be, you know, we get to get rid of those. And then we actually get to live doing that and helping others do that. So it's really simple. The steps are clear. There's 1 through 12. And yet the mind of a compulsive eater can make it so complicated, And, you know, we want to go back to, you know, it's easier to go on a diet, right? It's easier to try to figure it out on my own, but it's truly not. And so today, literally, if you're new, you can have the miracle of being free from food, of being free from the obsession of yourself by taking these simple steps. And the best way to get it is a recovered sponsor. Like, get a recovered sponsor and ask, be humble yourself and follow their direction is the best thing I could say to anybody that's new on this line. And once again, thank you so much for letting me share. I'm just grateful to be here.
Thanks, Dina. Next we have JS from Montreal.
Hi, everyone. Thank you. JS here from Montreal, or you can say Sebastian too. I think it's easier to hear over the line, but thank you, everyone, for your service and sharing your faith this morning. This is a really cool paragraph. I'm recovering. I'm doing the steps right now. And this phrase, circumstances made him willing to believe, it's really the same thing for me, and I think for everyone, but for me anyways. And it wasn't like a really hardcore binge or a sudden weight gain that I didn't see. Those are not the circumstances that made me come back this time. It was this gnawing fatigue of not being able to manage the mental space that this disease takes, figuring out what to eat, what to not eat, how come these clothes didn't fit anymore, what weight I could lose, what weight I was afraid to gain, this mental space and the insanity that derives from it that was just taking me hostage all the time more and more as the years progressed. Those are the circumstances that made me believe that I couldn't go on like this and there had to be something else to life than just worrying about weight and food and weight and food. I mean, it was preventing me from having relationships with people to do work effectively. I was managing, but I don't want to manage in life. I want to live. So I really much identify with this paragraph and to all that's been shared this morning. Circumstances have definitely made me willing to believe that there was another way around. So with that, I pass. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, Jay. Ronnie B., you're up. Star 1 to unmute, please.
Good morning, everyone. Ronnie B. in Missouri. Really grateful to be here and grateful for everyone's service because I wouldn't be able to share today if everyone wasn't suiting up and showing up. So for me, hearing the word miracle always stops me dead in my tracks because I forget and take things for granted. And when I do that, there's a tendency to slip behind in the work that I do. So the miracle of like, food neutrality, and for me particularly around sugar. You know, October, a day at a time was 3 years of abstinence, and I'm still abstinent. But that's critical for me because I'm like, could that be true? Every once in a while I think, can that be true? And I talk to my sponsor, and it is true. And it is true. So as I was listening to everyone, I was just trying to think, so it's not necessarily for me grace, because grace is just something that is given. It's just there. But the miracle for me is I do the legwork. God does the hard work. And I want to remember that because I'm getting ready to go on a trip to Israel. And my disease already had a conversation. Israel, they're going to have different kinds of food. They're going to have different kinds of desserts. Why would you not do that? The disease now is having a conversation. Why would you not do that? That's insane. Who would expect you to do that? Who in their right mind? And then I am going to eat it. I'm going to just have anything I want. And when I come back, so taking that for granted, I'm completely okay with redoing my day count. I never had that thought for 3 years. I would not have been okay. So it told me I was in the grip. So I did talk with my sponsor, and that led me to a special edition for last week, you know, the 3Ds. And I listened to it when my jaw was just dropping, thinking, I'm delusional. I'm in a state of delusion. And I really think the miracle is that I was prompted to read it. I had the willingness. I heard that today. I had the willingness to read it. And suddenly, here's part of the miracle. I did that legwork. And the miracle was the awakening was like, oh, my God, what was I thinking? Like, and then I'm in the grip of a disease. No, I cannot just eat that. And there's no guarantee I can get back here. And why would I want that struggle when right now I don't have it? Right now I don't have that struggle. I go out with people to eat. Sometimes they get a dessert. Sometimes they get a group dessert. They give everybody a spoon. And that's a side issue, right? Like, what the hell? But anyway, and then now they know no spoon for Ronnie. And I'm good with that. Anyway, thank you, everyone. I'm really blessed and grateful. Have a blessed day.
Thanks, Ronnie. Okay, Jordan, you're up.
Hey, good morning, Diane. Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, now we can.
Okay, cool. Thanks, Diane, for moderating for us this morning. My name is Jordan Al. I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado, and very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous this morning. circumstances. if we're looking at the circumstances here and kind of like understanding, right, what our friends' circumstances are, business failure, insanity, fatal illness, suicide, these calamities in his immediate family embittered and depressed him. Post-war disillusionment, ever more serious alcoholism, impending mental and physical collapse brought him to the point of self-destruction. These are the circumstances that he's dealing with here, right? And I can relate to business failure, insanity, fatal illness, suicide. Those things haven't occurred in my immediate family, but they have in my broader family, amongst aunts and uncles and cousins and grandparents and great-grandparents and so on and so forth, right? So I can relate to some of what he's talking about here, right? This guy lived in a different era for sure, but I start to understand that these circumstances are not, like, they're not good, you know? And that's his motivation behind what it is that he's trying to do now, right? He's trying to establish this cornerstone, or has established this cornerstone, right, for the spiritual structure that he's building in his life now. and the whole thing is, like, I don't even have to be all that crazy about God in order to do this. that's where this guy was coming from, you know? But I can start to take some of the same steps he has. And that miracle of healing, I 100% relate to today. And yes, it is in the way of being abstinent. Like, that is total miracle. And the weight loss and those wonderful things, those are wonderful, wonderful things. But I got to tell you, for me, the miracle of healing today is really like my ability to relate to other people, especially compulsive overeaters. Like, I want to be amongst other people today. I really, like, genuinely want to share my life and share the life of others. Thanks, Dan. So that's really a miracle of healing for someone like me who is so rebellious when I got here. So thanks for letting me share. That's all I got.
Thanks, Jordan. Okay, we have time for perhaps two, maybe three more shares if you'd like to share. Star one to unmute so I can take your name.
Gwen I, Oregon.
Gwen I,
Debbie,
Oregon.
Israel.
All right, one more maybe.
Deb,
if we have time.
Israel.
I got you, Deb, sorry. Anybody else? One more maybe? No? Okay. Gwen I from Oregon, star one to unmute, please.
Good morning. Thank you. I'm grateful to be on this meeting this morning. I love this little simple paragraph. I'm really intrigued by the thought of circumstances, and what came to mind for me with that is I don't know what the circumstances are going to be for me or for anyone else that that brought me to a place of coming to believe. It's a mystery, you know, and it's not like I can relate to all the circumstances that this guy was in, but the moment that I surrendered wasn't directly, you know, the timeline wasn't related to those darkest moments. And so I never know, you know, I never know, as far as with working with others, what their circumstances are going to be and what's going to bring somebody into a willingness to believe. And so when I think about the miracle, I think about the saying in recovery, like, don't leave 5 minutes before the miracle happens. And it's like, keep coming back. And that's the one thing I've done right in this program is stayed. And it took a long time for me to get recovered. And I just kept coming back because some part of me knew that leaving was it was an option, but I made it part of my abstinence at some point because I did leave once and it was a disaster. But like I said, as far as circumstances go, none of us know how this miracle is going to happen for anyone or ourselves, I believe. And I just keep coming back. So thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Gwen. Deb E., you're up. Star one, please.
Thank you. Hi, this is Deb E., recovered compulsive overeater in Israel. And I love this first line, what is this but a miracle of healing? Because it really is truly a miracle. When I think about where I was and where I am today, before and after OA, or before and in OA, I should say, it really didn't seem possible to have the healing I experienced today. And I was just thinking to myself, like, how I've become like the trustworthy gatekeeper of like all the, all my trigger foods in this house, because my husband eats the same things that my children eat, but I don't. I can't touch a lot of the stuff they eat because they're my red light food, trigger foods, binge foods, whatever you want to call them. And how, like, I'm known as the safe person. Like, they can leave it under my watch and they know there's no chance of me touching it. And they don't even know me from before. Like, they don't, you know, thankfully, thanks to my higher power, they're all born during my abstinence. But I just, it's just like night and day. I mean, if they had known me before, you know, if I hadn't gotten abstinent before they were born, I definitely would not be a trustworthy gatekeeper of their little stash of stuff. And I even just, I was just in the U.S. and I brought them back a lot of their like little treats. And, just to be able to do that, you know, I probably would have eaten everything before it got here and made up some reason why I couldn't bring it back, you know. But not one thing was open, not one thing was touched. And it's nothing short of a miracle. And that's just, you know, the food stuff. And there's all the, you know, the way I see the miracle happening in my life is when I don't want to do something and I recognize that I don't want to do it because it's challenging one of my character defects, and I choose to do it anyways because I know that that's how I get my spiritual growth. That's how I continue to recover and get more. And when I can put aside my selfishness and be there for somebody else, that's like the way bigger miracle to me, to be able to shift like that. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Deb. I see we still have time for like two more shares. Anybody else want to share? Star one to unmute so we can hear your name, please.
Barbara A., California.
Barbara A., anybody Laura. Else?
Laura B.
Laura, okay, and one more.
Patricia H. from North Carolina.
Okay, we'll try to get to you, Patricia. Okay, so let's start with Barbara A., please.
Good morning, Barbara A., Central Coast, California. Grateful to be here. I really identified with someone who said, just keep coming back. Also been in a long relapse. Haven't gotten myself back to where I was before, and I just have to keep coming back. I have to keep coming back. I must reach out and get a sponsor. I've used this program. I've gone to the meetings. I've written down my food. I've given away my food, and today I go do that. I'm so much more at peace and serenity when I follow the program. I'm grateful to be here. Going to listen and reach out and ask for a sponsor today, and I'm nervous about that. I'm nervous about being humble, and I know from what I've heard in these meetings that the only way to recover is to first take step one, take some action, do the rest of the steps, admit my inability to handle this food compulsion. This disease, this obsession. Grateful to be here. Thank you for your service. And I pass.
Thank you. Thanks, Barbara. Next, we have Laura.
This is Aura B.
Okay, spell it for me, please. I'm sorry.
A. Initial
yeah.
B. From California.
Thank you.
Thank you. I too have had a long slip, a pretty bad one. And, you know, I was abstinent for 15 years, and it's hard to come back and to get back into that not managing your own life. But I do finally have a conscious, daily conscious contact with my higher power. And that's what made me willing to come back in. And also somebody else throwing back my own words at me when I was abstinent that helped. So I just wanted to claim my seat today and thank my past sponsor for taking me back. I appreciate that. And for everyone sharing their experience, strength, and hope. Thank you.
Thanks, or welcome back. Patricia H., you have 3 minutes. Star one, please.
Thank you for allowing me to share. This is Patricia H. from North Carolina. I love this meeting. It's been a while since I've shared on here, but I'm on here every morning, especially the 7 a.m. call. And for a while here, I have been like on a slippery slope where I'm not really doing the program seriously, doing all the things that I need to do. But for the last 3 weeks, I've been participating in a corporate fast with my church congregation, and in my time with my higher power, who I choose to call God, he's really been showing me things about myself, and I'm learning to be totally honest with me. Because if I'm not totally honest with me, I can't be totally honest with anyone else or with God. And this morning, it was interesting. I woke up and I was meditating, and the thought came to my mind from this disease, how I have been so overwhelmed with so many things to do, and this program is asking so much of me. You know, I think after this fast, I will probably be able to go out and offer out of OA and just do it on my own. And it's so such a blessing when I hear others that are returning from a relapse and they're being totally honest about what happened. And just listening to the shares this morning, I heard a fellow say how they had gone out and they didn't get the success that they would have lacked, and they are back now. And when people share their experiences, strength and hope is wonderful, but it's also wonderful when they share their experiences and the hurt they experienced, because I don't want to have to go down that road. And I'm just so grateful, because I often hear, don't leave until the miracle comes. So I plan to stay until the miracle comes. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Thanks, Patricia. Yep, I think we're going to close it up now. So let's see. Thank you, everyone who shared. Thank you, everyone who did service. We'll now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So will Penny L.C. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, this is Penny L.C. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.